You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. I am coming to you live from Athens, Greece. I am in this fabulous hotel, but I am definitely jet lagged. But I'm here for you guys because we have amazing startup conversations and business conversations that must be had as frequent as possible. It's about 2 a.m. here in Athens. And without further ado, I'm excited to bring my first guest on, Robert Ware. Robert, welcome to The Startup. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Monique?
I'm doing well. I'm acclimating to the time change. Thanks for asking.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just saying offline, you know, Robert's got this beautiful background and lighting, and I look like a hostage. So I'm going to work through it. But, you know, they don't come for the looks, they come for the conversation. So why don't we go full screen? And Robert, why don't you introduce yourself and your brand?
Absolutely. Hey, everyone. My name is Rob Ware. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Magui Exchange. And Magui Exchange is a digital platform that connects artisanal spirits producers. So artisanal spirits being wine, mezcal, tequila, et cetera, to food and beverage businesses. So that's importers, distributors, all sorts of individuals that want to source spirits and wine from these producers. Right. And that, you know, that includes just buying the liquid, slapping your label on it, branding it and sending it and selling it to anywhere else in the world.
Fabulous. And, you know, I think when we're enjoying a bottle of wine or, you know, tequila or whatever the person prefers, we really don't think about all the hands that it goes through and all the processes that it takes. Why don't you explain a little bit about how you came up with the name and how you fell into this business? Sam, go full screen for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. So how did I come up with the name? Magui is a word from Nahuatl, which is basically the language spoken by the Aztecs. And it means agave, right? So naming the company Magui harkens back to, you know, the communities, the traditional communities that source and produce this traditional product, such as mezcal, such as tequila, right? And the agave plant is a very sacred plant, right? It can be used for construction material like adobe bricks. It can be used for mezcal and tequila, et cetera. And it can also be used for medicinal purposes, right? So I named it Magui Exchange in order to harken back to the traditional communities that we source a lot of the products and drinks that we enjoy to this day. And exchange harkens back to the ultimate objective, I would say, of any community, which is giving something and receiving something of equal value, right? So Magui Exchange is community focused, it's empowering producers, and it also pays respect to traditional communities that we source many of our favorite food and drinks from. And the aha moment, or let's see, the origin story of Magui Exchange is, I would say, a tale of three parts, right? The first part is I grew up in a farming and producing community, right? I grew up spending my summers and a lot of my early years on my great-grandparents' cattle farm in West Tennessee. And we had about 400-plus head of cattle. And, you know, I worked worked on the farm almost every day. And I would often watch my grandparents struggle to make a living, simply because they only had an access to one local buyer, right? Traditional brokers would take advantage of them, and they wouldn't be able to sell a lot of their cattle for a fair market price because of the lack of a network, right? The second part of this tale, I would say, starts in 2009. So I am backpacking through Mexico. I end up in Oaxaca. I meet a mezcalero, and his name is Rodrigo. And we're still friends to this day, right? And why are we friends to this day? One, he gave me my first sip of mezcal, which anyone that you've been introduced to mezcal, the person that gives you the first sip is probably going to be one of your friends for life, right? So we bonded a lot over that. Additionally, he opened my eyes to this wide world of artisanal spirits production, where anything from natural wine to pisco to some types of whiskey, scotch, etc., it comes from some person like Rodrigo, comes from some person like my grandparents, right? My grandfather, right? That's been producing this spirit for generations, right? And often lives in remote, very hard to reach areas, right? So he opened my eyes to mezcal and this wide world of artisanal spirits and wine production. Additionally, we bonded over the fact that he also struggled to provide for his family and for his community simply because he could not reach buyers and buyers could not reach him in his remote corner of Oaxaca, Mexico, right? So I left that summer, you know, backpacking with thoughts of how to help people like my grandparents, like Rodrigo, how to enable them, how to support them, right? And the school that I returned to finish my senior year of college was West Point, right? It's the United States Military Academy. And if you don't know anything about West Point, just know that after you graduate from that university, from that college, you have to serve at least 5 years in the U.S. Army. So therefore, I graduated West Point in 2011 and found myself in Afghanistan for the first time in 2012, right? And besides being in combat pretty much every other day, patrolling the Afghanistan and Pakistani border, I also worked with the State Department on an economic development initiative, primarily focused on converting Afghan farmers from farming poppy, which goes into heroin production and is a funding source to the Taliban, to farming something else, right, that didn't fund our adversaries. And you know the end point of this project, right? Billions of dollars were invested. You know, lots of farmers were actually converted. However, you know, it completely failed because we did not establish a market for these new farmers farming new things to sell their products, right? So over the course of these three experiences throughout my life, pretty much disconnected, right? You see the need for market access, especially for producers that are far-flung and isolated, that are doing something that they've been doing for generations, right, is a family trade. And you can see the consequences from a micro to a macro perspective of what happens when you don't get these channels right, right? How can you, and the question that McGay Exchange seeks to answer is, how to connect these producers to the digital economy, right? How do we establish these channels not to, you know, donate support or anything like that, but to enable them, right? To have them, you know, sell their craft and make a living in order to provide for their family and community. And that's what McGay Exchange is all about. Hope that answered your question, Monique.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry. Listen, I have notes. Okay, folks.
Yes,
this,
I love it.
Listen, this right here is the thing why I'm up at 2 a.m. in Athens, Greece to speak to you. This is a shot in the arm for me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm a weirdo. I love the startup game. I love the startup story. I love the effort and everything that you're sharing here. You really have honed in on the escalator explanation of your brand. And what I'm loving about all of this is those little seeds on your path, right, with your family and the farm in Tennessee, all those things were already kind of in your subconscious about, I see that there's a need here. And you were kind of primed for this. And I'm loving that you identified it and you jumped in to help. But it sounds like that's your nature anyway. You're in the military and at the border of some really challenging areas in the world. I love that you identified things in the market that could help. But here's what we want to remember here in the startup, guys. Once you learn how to do something, even if you didn't get it all the way over to the finish line the way you wanted it to the first time, you won't forget how. You've got those tools in your toolbox and you can apply them. And that's what it seems like you're doing here with the exchange, Robert. How did the pandemic, and I know this is an ignorant question, how did the pandemic affect some of these beloved small business owners and producers?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So, you know, I started McGoy Exchange officially in 2021, right? So it's at the quote unquote tail end of the pandemic, however we're defining that, right? And, you know, really a lot of the research and conceptualization of McGoy Exchange not only was done in those three experiences in my life that I mentioned before, but also I spent a lot of time going back and forth to Oaxaca and other places in Mexico, meeting over 500 different producers, right? Learning their problems, understanding like their needs, their pain points, et cetera, right? Doing the research to make sure is Mogoi Exchange even necessary, right? And the pandemic, like many others, right? Many other industries, it affected a lot of these producers harshly, right? Because a lot of them relied on one sort of channel, one point person to bring their products to market, right? And a lot of places in Mexico and a lot of these pueblos and small villages in Mexico were shut down, right? In order to prevent the spread of COVID, right? Your average mezcalero will probably be, you know, between 45 to 60 years in age, right? Not counting the younger generation that they're training because it's a very apprenticeship-driven program, right? So a lot of these communities were closed off, right? And therefore, as a result of the closure, a lot of them were missing revenue, right? And additionally, as companies and brands that source the liquid from these producers were trying to figure out what was going on during the pandemic. A lot of bars and restaurants were closed, like traditional outlets. You know, they just stopped their orders, right? They stopped contracts, shut down everything for a while. And a lot of these producers who depend on the consistent order flow, right, and consistent connection, were left out in the cold, right? So, you know, by connecting, you know, these producers to the digital economy via the Mogoi Exchange, right, we give them other options or enable them to have other channels, right? I mean, maybe, you know, if you're selling some sort of consumer product, yeah, you open an Amazon or you sell on Amazon or you sell on Shopify or you sell on Etsy, right? You know, it's all about the multitude of channels and options in order to, you know, enable this sort of self-determination, right? But the pandemic as a lesson showed that, you know, a lot of these producers rely on one channel and therefore it necessitated the need to identify, build, construct, et cetera, more channels for them to sell and continue their livelihood.
Yes, great, optimistic, and real way to put it. Because, you know, I remember having a conversation with someone in Vegas, random, we're at a Topgolf, and his family, his company did laundry for most of the casinos on the Strip. Generations of contracts, handshakes, and kind of that old world Vegas kind of deal. And I remember expressing to him pre-pandemic, probably 5 years pre-pandemic, hey, do you have a website? No, we just kind of do it on the, I'm like, well, you know, you might want to have a website, just a landing page, just something, just send me an email. Just, you might want to just have some type of footprint there that is online and you can. And it's funny, I wonder, you know, of course, it's a little different because it's not in the small pueblos, as you say, it's Las Vegas, and you can get there pretty easily to access your clients. But it really does drive the point home that, you know, technology is the key. And I'm loving that you're exchanging and you're putting these brands on the map. Mezcal, I first was introduced to it in Oaxaca as well, a couple years ago. Amazing. To Scott Jack, shout out. I didn't know that it was a breakfast drink. I didn't know. That is quite a breakfast. You don't need to use Listerine, people. That thing is fire.
Yeah, so it's used with a lot of different celebrations, ceremonies, funerals, quinceañeras, etc. If there's a party going on, you know, everything can run out. Like there's a saying, like, you run out of food, water, whatever, but you can't run out of mezcal, right? And with this, like, you know, it's not just, you know, mezcal producers that we're working with. You know, we're quickly expanding to other categories, right? Like pisco in Peru, like cachaça in Brazil, things like that, because there are the characteristics of the mezcal and tequila industry are seen throughout the world in various different traditional beverages and drinks. And simply, it is about the connection, as you pointed out, right? And the enablement and the building out a platform that supports, because a lot of these, a lot of the producers, a lot of the mezcaleros, they won't have a website, right? They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook. Yes. You know, they're on a lot of things. Like even Mexico as a country has about, you know, don't quote me specifically on this, but it's around a 94% smartphone penetration, right? So nearly everyone has a smartphone and they're connected digitally to the rest of the world. Now it's moving from that personal connection, having an Instagram profile, you know, taking pictures of agave and your production process, to having, you know, enabling a business profile, right? A business centered face, right? That you can then share your products and your heritage with the world. And that's one of the goals that, you know, Mogoi Exchange strives for.
Well, we'd love to plug you here on the Startup. So why don't you go ahead and give us all your handles, your website, and how can people follow and share and support?
Yeah, absolutely. So website is www.magoyexchange.com. Instagram is Magoy Exchange, right? And pointing out on the Instagram and what we're doing in terms of content, we take a Humans of New York plus Chef's Table style approach to sharing stories, right? You're not going to see like product placements or bottles. It's all about sharing the stories from the ground level from the community, right? So I urge you to go to our Instagram handles as well as go to our website for commentary on what's going on in this industry and other parts of the world, and you know, enable support, help partnerships. If you're a restaurant, brand owner, importer, et cetera, you know, pick up the phone, talk to us, hit us up on our websites, and we'd love to work together to reshape the future of production and consumption. Thank you.
Beautiful, Robert. A few more minutes here. Are you looking into the South African region at all for any products?
Yeah, actually, we're looking at a lot of regions of the world, primarily in Latin America and Africa, right? For a lot of different reasons. First and foremost of demographics, right? You have in these regions like the highest population growth in the world, right? Many of them are under 30 and are looking for opportunities and ways by which to participate in the digital economy, as well as there has been, you know, less of an initiative from parts of the world to enable like digital access to these platforms, right? Yeah. Yet there's a lot of infrastructure that helps us, right? Say in Africa, for example, digital payments, they're far ahead, you know, than a lot of places in the world in terms of, you know, paying what we call Venmo or Cash App, et cetera. Yeah. That's been, you know, road well trodden there. So we're looking in a lot of regions, particularly Africa, Latin America, parts of Asia, that was to expand our presence and help and touch more communities and more people.
I love it. I'm going to speak to you offline about an interview, because I don't know if you know, but I did 20 cities in America during the pandemic and 40 countries around the world. And we're finishing the last film, The Endemic Project, in South Africa. And I highlight stories and, you know, people, how it's not about the politics, it's about the people. Like you hit it on the head when you said it's about the stories, you know, and it really truly is. If you don't have a story, now for social media or anything, you don't exist. People want to be invested emotionally about what you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, these trends of authenticity, premiumization, you know, transparency, these are what will drive consumer brands and even, you know, overall like business brands and platforms going forward. People want to know where their products come from. People want to know that there's a face behind it, right? People want to also support their fellow human being. I think these trends are going to guide not only business visions and missions and objectives to come, but it will also drive how people consume and understand and interact with, you know, anything from an iPhone, right, to your favorite, you know, cortado or macchiato, wherever you order in your favorite cafe or coffee shop.
Yes, beautiful. I'm thirsty and I want coffee and mezcal. But you know what? Thank you for it's almost like you're bridging an invisible gap. Even though, you know, people don't really, they couldn't put their finger on it, but it's true. The people that make, that harvest and put their love and their energy in our products, we really take it for granted. And you just don't see how these people were affected pre-pandemic, but then post-pandemic. And thank you for being a catalyst for change and for entrepreneurship. And I hope to have you back. Let's have you back on the show and give you the whole 50 minutes sometime soon.
I'd love that, actually. So I would love to also speak more about what we're doing in the industry and in these communities. And thank you for having me, Monique, and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
You're lovely. Thank you so much. What will you start up today? Guys, I'm here from Athens, Greece. I'm doing my MBA at Pepperdine. And shout out to all my cohorts, everybody that traveled here, and we'll be here for a little bit. So stay tuned. And next week we'll be on a replay because I'll be traveling. But be well. What will you start up today? And we'll see you soon. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.